It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, people of this beautiful land we call South Africa. I am your special guest host, Malcolm Dlulli, and you are on Cliff Central with the worst guys. The worst guys are out here today. My boys, my homies, my partners. As usual, introduce yourself there, Lois, since the people haven't heard from you, bro.
Hi, what's up, everyone? You're speaking to Lois Mzinyadi. I'm part of the worst guys, one of the non-comedians in the group. We have too many already. And yeah, hope everyone's having a good day.
Yeah, well, for those of you who just joined us now, my name is Riabetu Sesele, otherwise known as Ria or Rehab, but like I said on the other show, let's just stick to Ria.
Yeah. So lately, man, it's been getting crazy hot, man. Crazy hot.
Blazing.
I've been thinking, like, because I know, Lois, so you just recently come back from Cape Town now.
Yeah.
You actually got to watch the cricket, which I was really jealous of, you know, seeing Bavuma get to make that century. That must have been pretty awesome.
It was really a momentous occasion for South Africans, for black South Africans, aspiring cricketers, you know. It was really just a proud moment for everyone.
I feel like moments like those, like, make the unity of the country very, very, very strong.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It was great to just see everyone from every different background, you know, Poms just out there standing up, cheering for him. It was a great moment.
That's what I like about cricket, man. Test cricket is one of my favorite games of all time, honestly. You know, and there's a lot been going on in South African cricket lately, especially when it comes to our team changes and what's been going on. The biggest surprise, obviously, is Hashim Amla leaving the captaincy position. I don't know. What do you think about Hashim Amla leaving?
Yeah, it was actually quite a shock. You know, there was a little bit of talk as to, you know, whether he wanted when he got called up as being the captain. I don't know. Maybe the pressure in terms of his batting stats after, you know, taking on the role of captaincy, you know, played a role in him saying, you know what, we're rebuilding now, we're in a transition phase. So
do you by any chance think that he wasn't a good leader for the team? Because there's obviously different styles of leadership,
yeah,
right? And compared to Graham Smith, compared to AB de Villiers, compared to Faf du Plessis, you can see those guys are big characters on the field.
Yeah.
You can see they have a presence. Hashim Amla is more reserved most of the time. You know, he goes out there to do work, which is what I love about Hashim Amla as well. He just goes in to do a job, he gets the job done, and he's out.
Yeah.
Do you think that his style of play or of leadership was not effective for the South African cricket team?
Yeah, I had a friend of mine talk about this with me, and we came to the conclusion that he actually is very charismatic, just in his own way, you know. Like he likes to do his talking silently, if that makes any sense. And yeah, I don't know, I just think they respond better to, you know, the team and the fans respond better to one of the more charismatic guys, one of the guys who's...
That's the thing. I want to touch on charisma. Do you know how much does charisma play a role in leadership, especially if you're leading on such a high level? You know, I mean, you do need, well, in my opinion, obviously there's different opinions, but I mean, you need somebody who can take charge. I don't see Amla being the guy who'll go, hey guys, listen boys, this is going on, water, you know, cow corner, this. I don't feel that presence about him. What do you think charisma has to do with leadership?
I feel charisma has a huge deal to play with leadership, because keep in mind you're leading not just one person, like a whole following, you know what I'm saying? And with that being said, you need to be able to keep the energy alive. You need to show them that the direction. So if you aren't charismatic and have no sense of direction, and you know that drive, that willpower, how do you expect the rest of your team, you know, the rest of your following to portray the same thing, you know?
Because when I look at it, I feel like he saw that as a captain, you know, he's not doing as well as he was when he was just focused on his job. So maybe it's a bit too much pressure, but it is a lot of pressure captaining a cricket team.
On that note, I think we're also forgetting Hashim Amla is quite the perfectionist. Eh? He goes out there, he wants to do a quality job every time. I think for him, it was like, listen, we haven't won... In a while.
Yeah.
For him, a while is like a week.
Which it should be.
Yeah, definitely. So then he was like, you know what, let's try something else, see how that goes, and yeah.
Yeah.
Take the team forward.
Just in terms of leadership, Let's think about South African leadership and, you know, who are our leaders in terms of politics? You know, who's taking our country forward and our society forward? I know the ANC is obviously currently in power. And everybody knows.
If you didn't know already.
Yeah, if you didn't know already. But yeah, Zuma is an asshole in my personal opinion. And we need to start looking at alternatives. Who do you see as the alternatives in politics coming up to the future?
Well, you know, that's very... politics is actually a subjective topic as well. You know, it's about what you want or what your vision of South Africa going forward is. I mean, you know, sometimes I feel, oh, maybe Moosey's got something special, you know. But then other times, quite often, in fact, I feel, well, you know, Julius is really, really saying the right things. He's really, you know, trying to get the right message across.
Yeah, I don't know how...
For the most part.
I don't know how I feel about Moosey, though, eh? Or maybe it's the DA in general. This is my personal opinion. Obviously, everybody has their own opinion. And by the way, if you want to call us, please do. We're here on Cliff Central, and we want to hear your opinion. So contact us on 0861-555-189. That's 0861-555-189. Because, yeah, we're just looking for an alternative, man. We need a solution. We've been in the shit for far too long. So I think it's about time we step it up a notch. I mean, the youth is very woke. You can see by the protests that we continue to have. We know what's going on. We can see it. So I feel like it's up to the youth to determine where this country is going. So like I was saying about the DA and Moosey Mamani, I don't get the sense of sincerity that I do with Julius Malema. You know, when we were just talking about Julius Malema, and he has a revolutionary thought.
Yeah.
You know, Moosey Mamani almost has a, we're going to do the same, just better.
Yeah.
Same as the NC, but we're not going to be as corrupt, apparently. Or, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Look, what a lot of people, you know, kind of forget or brush aside is that the majority of South Africans, you know, are from lower class families and, you know, aren't as privileged as most people in South Africa. And nowadays it feels like the ANC isn't really speaking to them as much as they used to maybe, you know, 1994 and, you know, around that time. But, yeah. you know, it feels like you get the sense that, you know, Julius is really speaking to what actually is the majority of South Africans, and I think that's why his popularity is definitely rising.
He's out.
Yeah.
We've actually got a video. This is Julius Malema speaking to a group of white farmers. Essentially, he's just telling them how the development of agriculture would improve the country's situation, because, you know, food will never get out of fashion.
In his own unique Julius way.
Yeah. But here, listen for a minute or so.
See you as one of their own. Why do you want to wait for government to pass a policy that forces you to have your workers as your partners? Do it already. You are going around looking for individual BEE partners. You don't have a problem giving shares to an individual because of his political connection, but you have a problem giving shares to this group of people who have made you who you are. Help them establish a trust, register them as beneficiaries, register trustees, ensure that those trusts take their children to school and all those type of things, and even teaches them that on top of your salaries, what comes is going to be what we call dividends. You are likely, each one of you, to get 5,000 extra in the form of dividends at the end of financial year. And somebody comes and tells them to go on a strike, they will tell that person, hey, how do I strike against myself? This is my property. When I go on strike, that extra 5,000 that comes at the end of financial year, it won't be here. Get your workers to be your partners.
You see, you know, he has, you know, genuine leadership. That's what I mean when I say leadership, because he talks to the crux of the issue. He doesn't say the EFF will implement policies that will. He tells you, guys, listen up. Let's huddle up. Let me tell you, if we do this and this and this, we're winning this game. You know what I'm saying? He's not trying to disillusion you behind, you know, bureaucracy and stuff like that. He's just telling you like it is, guys.
He's being that dark knight.
Yes, being the dark knight. Let your workers work for you. Let them make you money. Let them love you. Let them take you in to the community. That's how we grow as a people, because we understand the power relation. Black people understand the power relation. It's just that I feel for the most part, the working class feels underlooked.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just what he was saying there. I mean, he wasn't saying give. If correct me if I'm wrong, he wasn't saying give them the farm.
Yeah,
he was saying bring the farm workers involved.
Yeah, and apprentice them.
Yeah, they'll be more you know, more probable to just go along with working together and building a better future for everyone concerned.
Yeah, and it's a thing of once you start to teach them and start to develop their understanding of agriculture, they too start to become involved and they start to spread that knowledge to their people. And that's a whole lot of people. I mean, that's where growth starts, is from homes.
Yeah.
It's from understanding that we are all in this together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, but that's my opinion on Julius Malema. Any other characters that are out here that you think could take the throne come 2019, is it?
Yes, 2019.
Yeah, 2019.
There's no contenders.
There's no contenders. So we've only mentioned Musi Maramane.
I think that's another concern, serious concern in terms of the ANC. There's no up and comer.
Yeah, I don't see Cyril Ramaphosa taking it.
Yeah, but he's part of the old school. He's part of the old guard.
The old guard. No, yeah. But what I'm saying is that I don't see him as a good leader or the necessary leader for the country at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, we need some revolution. Now, we're at that point where, you know, we're out of the honeymoon phase of democracy, you know.
Yeah.
Now we're starting to really address issues and we're starting to confront the real backlash of apartheid and what actually happened. And Julius understands that. He has that vision, well, from what I can tell. And that's why I like Julius Malema's views. But once again, these are just our opinions. If you want to call in and have yours, it's on 0861-555-189. So anyway, let's talk about something very interesting, I believe. Money.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Money, money, money. What
money
does it
make the world go round?
What does it
money
mean to you?
The world go round? What does money mean to me?
What does money mean to you?
Money is basically just an object for me to attain whatever I want in life.
What do you want?
I want a nice house. I want a nice car. I want to live life nicely, comfortably. You know,
the good
I don't
life.
No. Correct me on that. I don't want to live life comfortably. Too many people are settling for, you know, being comfortable in this life.
So what you're saying is that. So what you're saying is that you want a lot of money. You want to be rich.
Who doesn't want to be rich?
Yeah.
If you say no, money can't buy you love. Yes, it can't buy you love. But
now we can take it back. I think money can buy you love.
Yeah,
if you really think.
No, that's what I was saying. I was like, people say money can't buy you love, and I'm like, yeah, sure. Look at my flesh.
You just take a walk in Sandton City, and you'll realize money buys some serious love.
Women aren't marrying for talent out here. I can tell you that's for sure. No, but that's what I'm trying to say. You know, there's this misconception that you don't need money to be happy, which is true. You can be happy without money. But what I'm saying is that if you had money, you could be happy and you could live an even better life. You know, instead of living in the rural areas and you're happy, you could be living in, you know, a 5-bedroom house with the same family. Everybody has food and running water and electricity. You guys can go to Cape Town.
Maybe. But remember, better is quite the relative term. I mean, there's quite a lot of guys who live in the location who are very, very content with, you know, their situation and how things are going.
But
you know,
touching on that word that you just said, content, why are people being so complacent? Don't settle. Keep going.
Maybe so, but you know, guys' life goals are different.
It's a lifestyle, I think.
Yeah,
exactly. I think it's a lifestyle, especially when you go to the luxury. You know, we've all been there. You know, you go, you jam. These guys enjoy doing what they do. You know, case of course, Zersha Friday night. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
the weekend.
You know what I'm saying? So it's more about they're stuck in the lifestyle, and it's not even that they're stuck, they enjoy the lifestyle. So each to their own. But now I'm talking personally, you know, for you, Loiso, what does money mean?
Well, money means, you know, it's the thing that I need most to be comfortable in life. You know, that whether that means, you know, be rich, or for me personally, it just means being able to afford, you know, the things I want. So, you know, I don't think I want a Ferrari. I mean,
that's a lie.
Don't mean to get debris, but didn't Paul Walker just the first guy just die in one night? I don't trust those cars.
I feel you.
Yeah, no. So,
why do you walk around in Johannesburg then? Because like you're highly likely to get mugged or something, you know. so just stay at home, bro.
No. Well, look,
I'm joking.
I mean, look, it's so subjective. I mean, for me, I definitely want money enough to do whatever I want to do. So if I want to go to holiday once a year, or, you know, if I want to be able to splurge on some clothes every 3 months, you know, that's the type of money I'm looking for personally.
Look, can I tell you the truth for me personally? Do you know, I want the kind of money that you can literally do whatever you want. If I were to walk out of here and say, hey guys, do you want to just hop on to the private jet? Let's go to Tokyo quick, have a beer, let's go to LA and then, you know, stay there.
So you want serious money?
That real money. You know, because that's
old money.
No, it's not even.
A lot of people got that new money. It's that generation money.
Yeah, that generation money is that hustle money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? So I'm saying, let's take away the fact that you want to be comfortable. Everybody wants to be comfortable, okay. But I'm saying, really think about the things you could do if you had real money. You know, not just for yourself, but for other people as well. You know, coming back to your roots as well, you'd know where you come from. It's just those type of things you could provide for the lower class. You could build a school. You could fly overseas and give motivational talks to underprivileged children. You know, those kind of things that you can do that money allows you to do. Money is power, you know, truth is power. You know what I'm saying? So
spitting bars.
No, I'm just saying, it's just, we need to understand that money is real and it's important.
But what I tend to see is that the more fortunate people don't give as much as they know they can, you know. Like, it's almost as if the more money you get, the stingier you become.
Mm. Yeah, but isn't that because a lot of people know you have money now? And once they know you have money, if they have to pay rent and the rent is past due, and they know, hey, my boy is making these millions.
But you're in a position to help. You're in a position to provide for that person. So why don't you?
Yeah.
It's not even, for some people, it's not even going to put a dent in their account. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but also money can also be very, you know, institutionalized. I mean, for example, you get these billionaires who probably do want to help in any way they can, but you'll get the guys around them, their business partners, saying, well, this isn't really an investment we can go into right now, you know, because he has all these partners, and meanwhile, he just wants to get out there and help, but, you know, there's other factors that are preventing him to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Happens quite often.
Yeah. You never understand until you're there, I guess.
Yeah.
You never really know. And I am no millionaire, so I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just saying, those are the ideas.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yes.
Let's say it. So anyway, I wanted to talk about something real quick before we take a break here. Kanye West's best album.
Oh,
this is a heavy debate.
College dropout.
You didn't even give it some time.
No, I don't even, like, the first song that pops into my head, I relate that to which album it was. It's done.
Which song is the one that pops into your head?
The workout song, dude.
I was lost there.
Oh, did I lose the plot there? sorry. To everybody listening, please forgive me.
Okay, the workout song. Is that the best you're gonna
I'm not saying it's the best, it's the first one.
Okay.
And then I think back to everything that never let me down with Jay-Z.
Yeah.
That was Hoat.
Yeah. Okay. What's your number one song from that album?
Yeah, I won't lie. Never Let Me Down touched my soul, I won't lie.
All Falls Down, No Credits, Jesus Walks.
Through the Wire.
Through the Wire.
There's so many more.
Yeah. I feel you. I feel you. Yourself, Louis?
I'm going to have to go with graduation.
Graduation.
I think I was at a stage of my life where...
it's like he's getting really serious. It's like, yeah, I think I'm at a stage of my life where I just can't listen to late registration anymore. Just need to listen to graduation.
Yeah, no. I think I was in grade 11 or grade 10 when it dropped. And I guess, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. So it really got to me.
Graduation. Okay, so number one track on graduation.
On graduation, I would say, I don't know. Can't Tell Me Nothing.
Now you're gonna make me change my decision. I'll stick to my gut.
I agree with you with College Dropout. For me, College Dropout was what introduced me to Kanye West. You know, that's when I saw, okay, this guy is the main man around town.
What I would say is my gripe with College Dropout is I think, if I'm not mistaken, there were like 24 songs, you know, with about 4 or 5 skits, and you know there were a couple of songs that, you know, were average. It was before, you know, artists had really made the shift to bring out like 13 tracks albums or 14 track, and that's why I like his other ones more, you know. It feels more complete.
Do you know, I think we're really undermining My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, guys.
Oh, yeah.
We can't forget about that album. For me, You can only choose one.
Runaway.
Oh, the best song on the album, Runaway. Okay, cool.
You introduced me to. I'm like, that's the piano in the beginning. I'm like, what is this now? But it's such a legit
Runaway
song.
Runaway as fast as you can. Yeah, no, I love Kanye West, man. I think he's one of the greatest to ever do it. That's why I dig My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy as well. It's one of those revolutionary type of albums, you know what I'm saying? But that's Graduation, too.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Graduation. That's Graduation. But yeah, it looks like we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Just remember to tune in, guys. We are having a fat conversation, yeah, and all that's missing is you. Call us up on 0861-555-189. Away.
When you're in the back seat with 4 multicolored aliens and a talking bear, you don't ask questions. Questions like,
where are we going anyway?
Can I have another cookie?
Mom, are we there yet?
Because when you can watch Teletubbies, Winnie the Pooh, and all the best kid shows online anytime for 99 Rand a month with Showmax, a long road trip goes by a whole lot faster. So get to showmax.com and get your 7-day free trial.
It's your special guest host on cliffcentral.com.
W-O-R-S-T. Oweda, 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 Worst Guys. You know, you're back with the Worst Guys on Cliff Central. We've just been having a really interesting conversation about, you know, money, leadership, Kanye West.
Hashimamla,
you know, it's just been going down. So now carrying on from our conversation that we're just having about Kanye West, his spouse, Kim Kardashian. I mean, there's a lot of varying opinions on Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
I personally love Kim Kardashian.
Well,
I think
I hope the main opinion is that she's made it.
Yeah,
that's
why. Why are you guessing, dog? I'm here. You talking about me on Twitter while I'm out here spending these millions. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I feel sorry for Paris Hilton because Kim just came out of nowhere with some hardcore noss, just spit right past her.
Exactly.
Yeah, have you seen that picture where she's like, I think, rubbing Paris Hilton's feet? And it's like, guys, remember, this was Kim.
You see, he started from the bottom. Started from the bottom. Ray J did wonders for her career.
That was a hostile takeover.
But we got to ask the question, whose genius was it? Was it Chris or was it Kim?
I think it was Chris Jenner. She saw the gap and she's like, we're going to make millions out of you, baby. She knew that sex sells. Is like, I'm going to sell my daughter. It's okay. As long as we're living good. And Kim doesn't even mind. Do you know why I like Kim? She's a visionary. You see the Kimoji app. I'm sure you guys have heard about the Kimoji app.
Oh, yeah. Especially after Kanye's new single drop.
Exactly. She released an app, for those of you who don't know, with different emoticons based around herself. I know it sounds very vain, which it is, but these emoticons are actually pretty dope. There's a emoticon with just legs and panties chilling at the ankles. Imagine wonders that would do for your game. It's like, come through. Panties on ankles emoji. You know, she knows what's going down once you send that. You know,
hey, you're taking Netflix and chill to a whole new level.
You know what I'm saying? Or if you there's a weed leaf emoji, there's Mercedes-Benz. You know that meme of her crying a tear? There's an emoticon of that, and that's been a killer meme over the last couple of years. So she's doing a thing, man. Surely she's doing a thing.
Yeah, but I think it was also the help of Kanye West, obviously. Surely.
Yes,
surely.
Yes.
Because I don't think Kim is a visionary on her own.
Yeah.
Ooh,
but
that's a big call.
Yeah, but you know, the success came before
exactly
her and Kanye.
Keeping up with
started.
The Kardashians.
Yeah.
She was the pioneer in that.
Yeah, but you just said now that it was Chris that saw the gap.
Yes,
so that's
yes,
what I'm
they
saying.
They work together. They're a family business. They
100%,
work together. 100%. Yeah. So I'm saying it's just a thing of now that they're together, they are just unstoppable and they'll never leave each other.
Yeah,
never. Are you sure? Never say never.
I say never.
Never say never.
They know what they have. They know what they have. They are the couple of the generation.
Wait. Are you forgetting about Jay and Beyonce?
Ah, we're tired of Jay and Beyonce. To be honest.
Do you know that every female on this planet says that they cannot break up?
Strikes will happen. They'll never break up either. That's the example I'm making. They're doing the exact same thing that Jay-Z and Beyonce did. They realize how
they're doing
they
it better.
Ooh. I don't know about better because.
Well,
I give Beyonce more credit than I give Kim Kardashian in terms of work.
I would say they're doing it better purely because of the fact that we haven't seen Kim's Khloe Kardashian beat up Kanye in the elevator yet.
That's so true. I remember that whole debacle. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Kim Kardashian has actually built an empire around herself without really doing much. What is Kim Kardashian talented at other than being beautiful?
Business, I guess.
Business, exactly.
Yeah.
She knows herself.
Yeah, she knows herself. But the business side is input given from other people. It's not necessarily just her. So if it's not her brainchild, I'm not going to give her the credit for it.
Exactly. So you're one of the people who undermine Kim Kardashian. Who
no,
don't
not,
think she
I'm
deserve,
not undermining her. She's hurt.
Okay. No, but not physically. Are you saying physically hurt?
Yes, or she's just physically hurt.
Oh, is that all she's got?
I'm done. That's my opinion.
Yeah, so do you want to be on the next sex tape?
I'm not so keen.
You're not?
Why are you lying, dog? Why are you guessing?
I'm not so keen, eh?
Why?
Two babies in quick succession, you know?
Yeah, she is quite the fertile one.
Hey, you don't want to be...
I don't know. Maybe it's just Kanye's strong genes, you know? You know the black sperms never miss. Never miss. Why do you think it overpopulates?
Exactly. Oh, you know, I was thinking about... We have this little game that we play every now and again. We go into a garage store, you know, whenever we have to go, you know, pick up a box of smokes or whatever. There's magazines on the rack, and there was a time where we were like, oh, these women are beautiful, right? Who would you pick out of the five Kardashians? I forgot which magazine they were on, but they were on it, and all five of them were there. That's Kylie.
All seven, wasn't it? Seven of them?
Seven. Sorry. Okay, it was Kylie, Chris, Kendall, Khloe, Courtney, and Kim. Who am I missing?
Okay, six. Okay,
six. Okay, so who is your favorite?
I'm gonna have to go with Kylie. I just
Kylie.
Yeah, I just.
What? That's outrageous.
Guys,
Tiger's girl.
Guys, she worked on it with the plastic surgery and.
She did well.
She's looking a little fly now.
No, but not the flyest. You're gonna give the trophy to the youngest.
Okay, wait. No, but then. Oh, sorry. I thought we were discounting Kim because it will always be Kim.
Oh, not for me.
Not for me.
Come on.
You know, I like those that Cougarville. Hey, so I'm gonna go with Chris.
Chris Jenner.
I don't know what it. See,
she could teach you some things.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
What I'm saying. She could definitely teach you.
I think
you
next in line would be Khloe.
Khloe.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. I think Khloe's got that fire.
slow down.
Slow down. Well, what's your gripe with Khloe, Louis?
No, I think, you know what, actually, I think I'm being unfair because a couple of years ago, of course, she was like the chubby one. She was the one who,
and
you know, no one really
that.
Cared. Yeah, no, not at all, no doubt. But she was the one no one really cared about, you know. But apparently, you know, she's been working on her image.
Yeah,
and
now she's one
she's
of the
looking, girls. Yeah, she's looking decent.
Yeah, speaking of, I personally prefer a woman with a bit of meat. You know what I'm saying?
You know, of course you do.
These eights and nines out here, these skinny eights and nines, I'm like nah. You know, they need if there's a thigh gap, she's too skinny for me. She's way too skinny for me. There can't be a thigh gap. You know,
I like that friction.
For real. Because, no. I mean, there's for the longest time, there's been an anti-chubby, or, you know, everybody wants to be skinny, everybody wants to look thin. And I think that's all played out now. We way past being skinny. That's man.
It. Women it's also don't think that if I see you in shorts and a t-shirt, I'm so cool. You don't have to go extravagant.
Hey,
we just chilling.
I want to see you on a Sunday morning, not a Saturday night.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Preach, bud.
Okay. So since we're speaking about women, tell me, for you, Loy, how old is too old?
We're
talking about Kris Jenner now, and she's quite old. How old is she? I'm not even sure, but I mean, she's got to be above 50, maybe approaching 60, surely.
Can we go the other way around?
Are you prepared? Are you prepared
to answer the question?
Yes.
How old is too old?
Yeah.
Okay. I think. And please don't pass any judgment.
He's throwing up the disclaimers.
Disclaimers is like okay.
No, I'm just making sure you guys understand that this okay, but listen, too young. Let me start with too young.
Too old. Oh, you want to go too young? Okay, give me too young.
Too young would be 18. 18. And below. No. Below 18. So if you're not 18 and above, access denied.
Access denied. Even if she's there, you know, mentally and emotionally.
I can't.
That's
uniform.
Exist.
Uniform.
Yeah. I would say. Like, I would say too young for me is 21. I mean,
21. Yeah,
listen,
you 23, dog. How is
people 21? Have said with me now? Look,
that's crazy.
Look, it's also about being able to. Maybe in bed, it's gonna be amazing. But it's about speaking. What happens afterwards? Now you don't know what to speak with.
I'm sure you can talk to a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old. Yeah, okay, actually.
I don't know. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so too old for me, since Kris Jenner sets the bar. She's 60.
Okay.
So 60 is going to be lit.
No, okay.
I'll push it. I'll give a 65.
I'll give a 65.
You guys are in the retirement home.
Yes. Why not live off the pension money, bruh?
The way I've... You know, back at school when Oaks is... Okay. When Oaks used to get picked up by their mothers, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You've been there. Don't pretend like
you're not a 60-year-old. By all means, but not a 60-year-old. Come on, guys.
Okay, so too old for me is 65.
Oh, man, 40.
40?
Are you missing?
Do you know how many... Wait, amazing.
What are we talking? Hookups.
Babsing.
Oh, so straight.
All the way.
stroke.
Okay, yeah. I'd have to add a 10 more years then. 50. I'd say 50.
Okay, that's really decent.
That's all right. It's like you're still missing out. It's like, we'll dip your leftovers, bro. It's fine. But since we're talking about some issues that have been coming up in society lately, this is something that I've been thinking about for a while. We've all been thinking about it as a youth in general. Okay, we've got a message from Zbeko. My nigga. Like Trevor Gumbi said, after 12 is lunch.
Yeah.
Plus, single moms are the horniest. I'll give him that.
True. Yeah. But not for the after 12. That's like saying if there's grass on the wicket. Come on, chat.
If her feet touch the ground when she goes to the bathroom.
Oh jeez, can we stop now, please?
But that's the vibe you're going on, Zbeko. I feel you on that. Plus, single moms are the horniest. I feel you on that. You know,
yeah. Zbeko sounds like a sex offender.
Like,
no, I'm joking, my brother.
Just a real G.
I'm joking, Zbeko.
But anyway, if you want to contact us, please do 0861-555-189. Join us in this conversation.
You can also find The Worst Guys on Facebook at The Worst Guys. You can find us on Instagram at The Worst Guys and on Twitter at @the_worstguys.
Yeah. So we talk about the beautiful woman that we love. You know, we guys, we love to hang out with you beautiful ladies out there. So apparently, the consensus is around that old is good, young is bad.
Too young is
bad. Would you rather date an older woman then? Do you prefer being with an older woman that can teach you something, or do you prefer to be the guy in the relationship who mentors or who teaches the younger person in the relationship? You know, just things about life.
Well, either way, as long as we're both intellectual, I mean, guys, I mean, seriously, you two talk a big game, but when it's time to chat and just sit down, have some beers, and watch it, what do you guys want to talk about?
I don't do too much talking. I'm just,
I can talk for days. Yes. I can talk for days. There's nothing wrong with... I'm just saying, for me, I prefer older women.
Yeah. It's just that thing of... They can teach you something.
Guidance.
Exactly. They
because
know life.
Women, honestly, in my opinion, are smarter than men. Just generally speaking.
I must say, these sound like heavy mommy issues. Eh? I don't know. They can teach you something. Oh, what do you guys all about?
Why does it have to be a mommy thing? Why not learn from the people that surround you?
Maybe.
Why do you want to be the smartest person in the room?
You know what are you going to learn from everybody else?
And if I was in the relationship, I'd do the same for the younger person, if there was a younger person. So it's not even that. It's just we want to grow. I want to grow if I'm in a relationship. Otherwise, there's no point of a relationship. And that's why I prefer older women.
On that note of relationships, all right, what would you say would be the time frame between dating and marriage? Like, how many years would you say is comfortable as for dating until you get married?
Until you get married.
Because I see a lot of couples out here that are chacharach.
Yeah, like you get married after 2 years. Dude, I've bought clothes from 2 years ago and then thrown away. I'm like, this shit is ugly. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I think the minimum is 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to agree with that one.
In fact, for me, it's infinity. Because if you want to get married, you should be able to just be in a relationship. Do you know what I'm saying?
You lost me there.
Yeah, me too.
I'm saying you don't have to be married in order for you to be committed for life.
Yeah, but it's about putting the stamp on you what you guys define as your relationship.
If we're gonna do that, I'm gonna say 5 years. 5 years minimum. And you? Lawyer?
Same. I'd say 5 as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with five.
So, 3.5, nyana, you feel like you really love her.
No. But let me, sick plot twist. What happens if she proposes to you?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I've actually never thought about it.
Are you allowed to say no? Has it happened?
Many women are actually going on one knee these days, and guys are crying. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I kind of want to do it. If you're going to get married, I kind of want to do it. But if she's on her knee, like right there, I'll just be... Just get up.
Actually, just go down. Act like you're praying.
Yeah. No,
it's like I love you, but
all right. So we've got a caller on the line, Paul.
How's it, guys? I'm really enjoying the show.
Thanks for listening.
And I just had a comment on the romantic connection thing with older and younger women and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just had a romantic kind of interaction with an 18-year-old girl, and I thought that was way too young. I'm about 25.
Yeah.
And, it really opened my eyes as to, the maturity thing, and, a chick can be young and be really mature.
Exactly.
Or old and very immature. So, that kind of thing that comes into it, too. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No. Thanks so much for dropping us that bar, bro. I totally agree with you. That's why, I don't know, I'd say 17. 17 is doable, in my opinion.
Come on.
How is it not, though?
18.
But he just told you that...
You guys know how we were in high school. You know how the girls around us were in high school.
Men are idiots, bro. I think women mature a lot faster.
No, that's true. That's true, no doubt. But I mean, you're telling me a 17 or 18-year-old girl knows what she wants?
Maybe.
See, the thing, if you're going to get into a relationship with a 17 or 18-year-old looking to be committed in this relationship, she has no foggy clue of what happens in life. She's fresh out of high school. Mm. She's like, okay, what's this? Is this a rock?
Is this a beer? She's not even allowed to drink.
Is this my way?
She should be allowed to drink. Okay, 18 is the one.
Am I getting in free at the club? Why am I loyal?
Why are you getting bounced with your girlfriend, man? No, that's not the way. Okay, I've also been thinking a lot about drinking since we're on the topic of going out and clubbing. I'm actually starting to get really tired of it. I really enjoy it. Like, that's the thing. I say it when I'm not drinking. When I'm not drinking, I'm like, fuck that. I'm never drinking ever again. I'm tired of the hangovers. I'm tired of wasting my money. But as soon as I have a sip of that Castle Light, it's like, oh, I'm back.
It's like, hey,
And honestly, hanging around the worst guys, I see my gen.
Now I know why they call the worst guys.
Can drink. Like, I don't drink, and it's been over a year and a half now that I've stopped drinking, and it's a lit life. Now, but I pass no judgment onto people who drink, because I used to drink, and I know it was lit.
I know it was lit.
I can't do it anymore.
It's too nice. Like, once you're in the zone, you're feeling good, bro. You're fresh.
Yeah, but there are other elements in life.
Yes, I think exactly. I think when you need to reevaluate your circumstances when your beer starts tasting like juice,
or like water,
or not even nice juice, like sweeter, like when your beer starts tasting like sweeter, you're like, hey,
the moment you know you have a problem is when you can take anything and just down it, and you're like, okay, no, this tastes the same. There's vodka, chosen. There's whiskey, there's Ciroc, and all of the jazz, and they all taste the same.
Every single
one of them.
So I want to ask you, Loy, what do you think, since you don't drink, Ria, what do you think about drinking alone? Problem, not a problem, chilled?
Well, that's quite a tough one. I mean, you need to be able to control it. You need to know your limits. I mean,
not about limits. It's just drinking alone in general. Is it nice? I find drinking alone nice. You know, I could go to the bar, you know, chill, watch the cricket
on the bar.
What about
at home? You're just lying in bed.
Lying in bed watching a TV show. Does it make me an
alcoholic? Bought yourself a six pack and just exactly. Chilling.
Do you not do that?
Well, I have dabbled in that a little bit in the past.
It's a vibe. You jump with yourself. You know, you don't have to be jamming with other people.
I think the most important thing is knowing your limits. I mean, if you're going to do that with, some cranberry and vodka, and you just sit there and you're like, well, I'm in my bed already, so let me pass out, then there's a problem. But if you're going to watch a movie or two and you have a six-pack, then I don't see a problem with it.
Sbeko saying, okay, we'll sleep with your 70-year-old sister. His friend, if she was shaped like a 25-year-old.
Sbeko, you are so lit, my boy. You are fire. What do you think about that?
I'm lost. I'm lost for words.
He'd sleep with a 17-year-old if she looked like a 25-year-old, essentially. So it's the physical appearance, Sbeko, not the maturity.
But here's the thing.
But does
right?
he know she's 17?
Yeah, well, according to the message that he's sending me.
Okay. And that's another problem. Women are looking much more mature, but they're young, especially in America as well. When one of our friends from high school, Michael Pringle, when he got that side to London, right? To the US, gets there and he's just having a blast and everything. And then he bumps into this, you know, flourisher. And then he walks up to her, starts talking to her, only to find out that she was like 15. And he's like, whoa, what's happening here? And then he's like, yeah, man, I swear to God, man, that girl looked like she was 28, man.
When South Africans come back with the American accent, he's like, we know you.
You from Lesotho. Come talking like nigga.
Okay, just the last topic before we leave. Yeah, I've been having such a great chat with you guys, just by the by. Just remember to holler at us on Twitter at cliffcentral.com. That's the Cliff Central Twitter handle. If you want to speak to the worst guys, it's @_worst guys. Just drop us a message if you want to on WeChat as well. The WeChat ID is Cliff Central. Just join in the conversation, man. We've been having a good time so far. Just the last thing I wanted to touch on, since we were talking about the elements and, you know, escaping essentially, which is why we drink and do all these stupid things that we do. I want to talk to you guys about the legalization of marijuana in South Africa, and do you think it's going to happen? And if so, what do you think the time frame would be? Ria, do you have any opinions on that?
Well, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but it surely will.
How long do you give it?
I give it about 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
That's not too long. Yeah, you know, for South Africa, because we were actually the first country to criminalize marijuana.
And I'm not saying 10 years for it to happen. I'm saying within
10 years. Yeah. I could see that happening within 10 years. The reason why I say is because when we compare weed to alcohol, for example, the effects of alcohol are so much more drastic than they are of marijuana. Like, we can pull out the statistics. You know, obviously, thousands of people die every year because of alcohol on the roads. We all know that, but we're oblivious to it for some reason. There's still no recorded deaths from marijuana, which I feel like is just the winning statistic. I mean, obviously, death is the ultimate loss. But anyway, there's no recorded deaths from marijuana.
I mean, you can overdose on panado, but like,
you can't overdose on marijuana. You just wake the guy up. It's like, hey, take a nap. We'll wake you up tomorrow, bro.
I think also what plays into it is that if you look at just across the globe, most countries that have legalized have been predominantly first world countries, you know, with the, apart from the Caribbean, you know, because, I mean, we're forgetting that, I guess, marijuana, weed is a gateway drug, you know, so I think
this is where we differ. I think alcohol is the gateway drug, if I'm being honest with you, because most people start drinking before they start smoking weed. I think we've sort of made alcohol socially acceptable, so we forget that it's a drug too.
Yeah.
We forget that it causes people to go out. We forget that it causes people to meet people with weed. And then that's where it all stems from. That's why I'm saying there's a huge, I'd almost say discrimination. Yeah, I would.
Against
weed, yeah, definitely. Between the two, let's be honest, selfies have killed more people than weed has. Google it if you don't believe me. Google it. Selfies last year, I think, killed like 12, 13 people. Yeah, I think it was 12 or 13 people. So it's more dangerous to take a selfie than it is to smoke weed. Do you know? And what are the actual effects? What are the actual effects? How do you feel when you're smashed compared to when you're high? What do you think?
In the wise words of Cat Williams, weed, it just grow like that. It just so happened to make you tired, sleepy, and hungry. That's it. Ain't nothing bad about it.
And you, Loy, ever? No, you're not a weed guy.
No, I'm not a weed guy.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's okay if you're not, but I'm saying, like, for me personally, if I had to choose between staying in and smoking and going out and drinking, staying in and smoking is always my option. You know, you can chill, watch TV, music is dope. It's just, I don't know, man.
Open your mind.
You see, that's the thing. What would you rather take? A drug that makes you think or a drug that makes you dumb? Just think about it that way.
And gives you beer goggles.
Yeah, even worse. Okay, but anyway, that's just what we have to say on the topic. We've had such a great time with you guys today. We are the worst guys. Follow us at the_worst guys. It's been a great time being with you, Loiso and Ria.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks guys, good to be here.
Yeah. So we'll be sure to see you soon. Cheers, South Africa.
It's your special guest host on cliffcentral.com.